Joshua chapter 24, verses 13 through 15. Joshua chapter 24, verses 13 through 15. That text says, now the Lord is speaking in verse 13. Joshua picks it up in verse 14. So this is the end of the Jesus of God section. God is speaking in verse 13. It says, so I, God, gave you, the children of Israel, a land on which you did not toil, and cities you did not build. And you live in them and eat from vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. Verse 14, Joshua speaks, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshiped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Let me read the last sentence again. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. I've called the sermon today, Let's Choose to Serve the Lord. Let's choose to serve the Lord. How many of y'all know the Lord has been good to you? All right, I got about three people over here. How many of y'all know the Lord's been good to you? Oh yeah, oh yeah. Now, his being good to us is reason enough to serve him. But how many of y'all know that no matter how good God has been, no matter how much sense it makes, each person still has to make their own choice as to whether or not they're going to serve the Lord? How many of y'all discover that to be true? Everybody got to make their own choice. And that's essentially what's going on in our text. Joshua is coming to the end of his life. He's done great things. He's led the people over the Jordan River. They've had a blood bath. Every time you turn around, they're killing somebody, taking their land. They've divided the land up, and Joshua's on his way off the scene. He's aged and he's dying, but he wants to make sure that the people under his watch have heard him say that you got to choose which God you're going to serve. You can choose the false gods of our ancestors, which is an interesting idea, the false gods of our ancestors, or you can choose the false gods in the lands in which we have come to occupy here in Canaan, or, and this is Joshua's recommendation, you can choose the God of creation as I, Joshua, and my household have. That's what's going on in the text, and Southern, that's what's going on today. When you and I look at how good the Lord has been, it ought to be obvious we ought to serve him. However, we have to make our own choice, and our choice of God is demonstrated by who we serve, not what we say, but who we serve. And so I want to spend these few moments talking about how we should choose to serve the Lord. And I want to plant this initial thought about the Lord's goodness. When you look at the text, verse 13 is actually the end of a long list of things that God has given these children of Israel. And that's really about how it is in your life and mine. Today is like the last verse of a long list of things that the Lord has done for us. I mean, if we start with our race, we could talk about how the Lord has taken us from being slaves in this country to being the president of the United States of America. Can you believe that? That nobody thought that the great-great-grandchildren of people who were kidnapped, stolen as slaves from Africa would ever end up being in the White House talking about you are the president of one of the most powerful nations in the world. I remember there were people who were doubting, was Barack Obama black enough? Because, you know, his mom was white and his dad was from Kenya, I believe, and there were some questions about, was he black enough? Where's his birth certificate? And all that crazy stuff. If there's any questions about Barack being black enough, ain't nobody talking about, is Michelle black enough? Amen. The first lady is sure enough, straight up from the hood. Chicago is in the house. And nobody would have bet good money that the black family would be the first family of the United States of America. And we ought to have enough sense to know the only way we got there was through the grace of God. It was not through our political stewardship. It wasn't because we were so smart. It was because God overrode evil forces and somehow made that situation happen. Here we live in a time where there are numerous black millionaires in the United States of America. Oh, how we ought to thank God for what he's done in and through our race. But some of us can make it much more personal than this. When we talk about the goodness of the Lord, the blessings of the Lord, some of us can make it personal. I'm looking at folk who've been sick, and doctors had said you wouldn't be here today, but you're here. That somehow, in some way, the Lord has overruled what doctors said, and you're still in the house of prayer on today. Somebody ought to say, Lord, thank you. Somebody's been broke, and it's not like you're rich now, but at least your bills are caught up, and you got a piece of bread at home, that the Lord has been good to your finances. Somebody have a testimony about relational issues. You were in a bad relationship, and somehow the Lord has set you free. It's not like you thought it was going to be, but you're thankful at least it's nowhere near as bad as it used to be. And then there are others whose testimony is not that the Lord has brought you out. Your testimony is that the Lord is still holding you up. That you're still in the thing, but you're still standing. That you don't feel your best right now, but at least you are here. You left bills on the cupboard, on the table at home, but you're not worried about anything. You passed dope boys coming out of your house, and they looked like they were looking at your place, but you've learned how to just trust that somehow, in some way, the Lord will take care of his own. I'm trying to get you to see that the Lord has been good to each and every one of us. Then I can remind you that God was at his best on that hill some 2,000 years ago, where his son and our Savior died for the remission of our sin. Jesus' death is conclusive evidence of how good the Lord has been to us. The Holy Spirit living in us and indwelling us, sealing us until the day of redemption shows how good the Lord is to us. The hope that we have in the Lord is evidence of God's blessing. You know, there are some people whose hope is only in what they see. If all I could have is what I see, I would be miserable. I would be overwhelmed because I honestly don't know what in the world is going to happen with this Ebola. I thought we had Ebola contained, and I turned on the television. I told you I had to stop watching so much news. It was depressing me. So I watch it on Sunday so I can be fresh when I come to the pulpit. And my God, I was scared. I had to almost turn the thing back off. The Ebola has spread. So I knew they had one doctor over in Africa that they brought over here, and we had them pretty well together. And then they had the African guy. I heard about how things happened. They had sent the man home and all that kind of stuff. But bless God, I turned on the television and they got two people that has caught Ebola, and they talking about they don't know how the thing was transmitted. That there was supposed to have been fluids, and these nurses are saying there was no fluid transfer, but they have Ebola. That don't make me feel good because I want to know, how did they get Ebola? How can they spread Ebola to somebody else? Do you know how many of my members fly back and forth in airplanes? And you might not be on the airplane with the person, but when you look at how much the people get paid to clean the airport, I wouldn't trust my livelihood that they didn't clean all of the Ebola out of the airplane. Anything could happen. But I'm thankful that whatever happened with Ebola, not to mention ISIS, J. Anthony Brown called it ears, but it's actually called ISIS. Whatever happened with ISIS, Ebola, Ferguson, no matter what happens with Judge Tracy Hunter, no matter what happens with all of the voter suppression tactics, no matter what happens down here, I got hope that transcends what I see. If all I had was what I could see, I would be overwhelmed. I would throw in the towel because I don't know how this stuff is going to work out. But I got a God who sits high and he looks low and he just works stuff out in mysterious ways and at mysterious times. It almost seems as if God wait until I give up to do his best work. As long as I think God might just do it right now, God has a way of just waiting. It's when I have given up, it is when I think even God can't do nothing about this situation, that God just sneaks from behind the curtain and says, I'm still God. I'm thankful that everybody in this room, whether we are aware of it or not, are blessed beyond measure. Lord's been mighty good to us. Come on now, I'm talking about our choice. So that was the Lord's goodness. I'm talking about our choice now. As in the text, the people's issue was not counting the blessings of God. The challenge of the text is, which God will you choose to serve? And they had choices. They could choose the false gods of their foreparents, which I find interesting because we tend to romanticize our foreparents. We tend to treat all of our forefathers and foremothers as if they were superheroes. But Joshua is saying our foreparents had worshiped some false gods. You can choose to worship them. He says, or you can choose the false gods of Canaan. That's why the Lord said, kill all the people in Canaan so you wouldn't learn about their God. He says, but I would prefer, and I recommend, and I am an example of serving Elohim. Serve Jehovah. Serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Serve the God who has brought us safe this far. Got to make a choice. Now, let me tell you something, that our God is the one we treat as all important, because we can get a little confused. We can say we believe in the God of creation, but then we behave as if there's another God in our life. It is our behavior that tells the truth about who's all important and by extension, who is the God of our life. For some, it may be money is our God. The person who will do anything, say anything, hurt anybody, do whatever it takes to get another dollar, treats money as their God. There are others who treat survival as their God. They don't stand for much of anything except self-preservation. And then there's others who stand only for racial pride. This is a crowd that think all black is all right and all white is all wrong, or all non-black is all wrong. I don't like to raise this question in mixed company, but in private moments, I wonder, what was it that really moved our foreparents to do the work of the civil rights struggle? I want to believe that it was Jesus. But when I think about how Jesus is still alive and well, but that crowd that benefited from the civil rights struggle, Stop struggling for the brothers and sisters that did not benefit like them. It makes me wonder, was it Jesus or was it self-perseverance, preservation? Was it Jesus or was it for their own upbringing? You know, there are some people that will act like they are down for the cause, and they say the cause is we shall overcome. And they're down with the cause. And when they overcome, they forget about the struggle was about we shall overcome. In other words, once they got their job, once they got their little edumacation, once they got to live where they wanted to live, they forgot about all of the other folk that was in the struggle. It made me wonder, were you really doing this for Jesus? Or were you doing it for self? There are others whose God is what I've labeled humanitarianism. One of the chief tenets of humanitarianism is that the human is the top good, it's the highest achievement. Everything centers around the human personality. The humanitarian says that all people are good. This is perhaps the most troubling for the preacher. The humanitarian says morality is relative. If humanity agrees something is moral, then it is moral because humanity said is moral. If humanity says is not moral, then it's not moral because humanity said is not moral. Notice how godless the humanitarian is. The humanitarian would say hell is a hoax and God is for humanity. Humanity is not for God. Let me bring these abstract thoughts in. The humanitarian says the church ought not say anything about homosexuality because human laws are being enacted that codify and sanctions homosexuality. And because we have agreed that in the 21st century, homosexuality is acceptable, then the church ought to tuck tail and get in line, upgrade to this new modern morality. And unfortunately, there are many people who subscribe to humanitarianism. There are others, perhaps more troubling, and I see this troubles you. Whenever I talk about homosexuality, I see some of y'all twist up a little bit, and that's cool. Until the Bible changed, I'm going to be preaching against homosexuality. Now, let me just say this again, because some of y'all be forgetting pieces of my sermon, so let me just put this right here again. I think homosexuality is sin. It's wrong for two men to be laying up here in bed talking about I love you. It's wrong for two women to be talking about we get married. All right, I told you now, I'm not going to be a part of that stuff. Now, however, right next to that, is the adulterer is a sinner. So it's not just the homosexual that's a sinner. All this adultery is sin. All that fornication is sin. All that lusting is sin. All that pornographic, freaky stuff you got on your computer, that's sin. That stuff you got tucked up under your mattress, that's sin. Gluttony is sin. Lying is sin. Robbing the Lord of his tithes and offering is sin. So if we're going to deal with sin, let's deal with sin. So I don't want the hostile heterosexual to be sitting up here saying, get them, Red. It's not a beat up on the gay people day. I'm just trying to get you to see that no matter what the humanitarian says, right and wrong is not determined in houses of legislation. We look to the scripture. The Bible is authoritative truth. not Columbus, Ohio, not Washington, D.C. The Bible is authoritative truth. And so then the position against homosexuality finds its footing in the same place we found footing against adultery, against fornication, against all sin. Sin is what God says sin is. It's not what the opinion poll says sin is. And so people change their mind all of the time. If your morality is based on an opinion poll, you all confused. Perhaps less troubling to some of you is this abortion and infant mortality stuff that I'm becoming more aware of. It is interesting to me. That's probably the nicest word that I could have that even gets in the neighborhood of how I really feel. I'm actually a little ticked off that we as black believers are so calm, cool, and collected about so many of our babies dying in Cincinnati. So I'm not talking about no children dying, starving over here in Africa somewhere. Cincinnati is one of the top cities in America for black babies that don't see their first birthday. And the black community says, Reverend, what's the next point in the sermon? You know we got to get back here for choir day. Come on, this is 12:25. We, not others, I am sorry. We kill more of our babies than anybody else kill our babies. The abortion rate in the black community is much higher than the abortion rate in other communities. That's my way of making y'all a little bit more comfortable. And my trouble is that if we don't love our babies enough to stop aborting them and to stop taking and stop neglecting them, stop failing to keep them alive, if we don't care enough, then what in the world make you think anybody else is going to care enough? It was disturbing to me, and I must admit I am conflicted, and I will move on when I get finished. It is interesting to me. I appreciate Mayor Cranley's wife. Dina Cranley is a beautiful woman, beautiful soul, and I think her heart is right. Bless her heart. She's a good person. I voted for the mayor. I support him. I think he's doing a good job. I wouldn't make a good mayor. He's good. But I find it disturbing, and it just might be me, all right? It just might be me. This might be an essay more than anything else. You figure it out. I found it interesting that black folk never rallied about infant mortality until the mayor's wife brought black churches together. Does anybody else find this strange? It would seem to me as if black churches would have become aware, since closing the health gap had been telling us this for years, infant mortality. Isn't it interesting that when black folk told us black babies were dying, we said, what is the white Tillery trying to get out of this? When the mayor's wife called the black church together, we were so happy to get in front of the camera, we said, infant mortality is a big problem. And so then my prayer is that God is your God, and not humanitarianism, not what the opinion polls say is right, what the opinion polls say is wrong, what people vote in as laws and take out as law and revise as law. The Bible is authoritative truth for Christians. And sometimes what the Bible says is not politically correct. And it don't make you feel good. In fact, if you are willfully sinning, you ought to feel bad enough that you change. That's what repentance is about. Yeah. I'm moving on now because I'm finished. All God wants to be served. Whoever you choose. If it's money, If money gonna be your God, you gotta serve money. If racial pride is gonna be your God, you gotta keep up with racial pride. If you crazy enough to make yourself God, and you make yourself God when you think that what you think is more important than what God has told you. Did you hear what I just said? You think you are God when you think that what you think is more important than what God says. Here is the language of the person who think they are too important. Yeah, that's what the Bible says, but that but right there is going to send you to hell. There is no but after that's what the Bible says. If the Bible says it, that ought to settle it. All gods want to be served, including our God. A choice to serve God is a choice to love him with all you have. A choice to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Now, it's my prayer that we would choose God, because after all, he's already been so good to us. What else does he have to do to get our allegiance and service? It's my prayer that we would choose him because serving the Lord will pay off. Somebody ought to be able to testify that if you just do what the Lord say do, may not come when and how you want them, but he got a way of showing up with the right stuff. I would urge you to choose him because the punishment of God is just as real as the blessings of God. When the book says he chasten whom he loves and he scourges everyone, you ought not think God is just selling wolf tickets. He's just long suffering. He don't want anybody to perish. But when you cross the line in the sand, you discover that he really is a God who punishes. I think you and I ought to choose the Lord because our other options are so lacking. If by chance you and I could mess around here and gain the whole world, what profit a person to gain the world but to mess around and lose your soul? And so get it good, you and I, after exploring our options, ought to decide to choose the Lord. But I don't want you to leave here comfortable with lip service. The real measure of our choice is not what we say, it is what we do. Joshua said, "As for me in my house, we will not just choose the Lord." He says we will serve the Lord. Get it in your spirit now that if you really want to serve and choose the Lord, you gotta obey the Lord. Your choice is not heart deep if it doesn't move you to love God with all that you have, and then to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Let me brush up against this last point before we close here. I want you to notice that Joshua's convictions were not just for him as an individual. Joshua did not simply say, "As for me, I will serve the Lord." He says, no, "As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Brethren, if you want a case study in real masculinity, here is the study. Joshua demonstrates masculinity. He demonstrates he's really the head of his house, not by flexing over his wife and over his children, but he demonstrates what a man he is by getting his whole household to serve the Lord. In other words, if you want to show what a man you really are, then bring your wife, bring your children. into a right relationship with the Lord. It's one thing to say you're the man. It's one thing to try to pretend to be the man. But if you really want to measure up to God's measure of a man, get your whole household hooked up with the Lord. Now, can't you see that the more the church and the families of the church make their way into right relationship with God, is going to have a ripple effect throughout our entire community. You see, when the Lord is real in your life, you can't put him in a little two-hour box that you only open on Sunday morning. When the Lord is real in your life, you live by his precepts on Monday and Tuesday. You walk by faith on Wednesday and Thursday. You carry him with you all day and all night, Friday and Saturday. Let me put it like this. The more people that get saved and serve the Lord, then the more saved school teachers, principals, and school board members we would have. The more saved and serving people we have, then the more saved politicians and governmental officials we would have. The more saved and serving people we have, then the more saved doctors and nurses and x-ray technicians and medical clerks we would have. What I'm trying to get you to see is that serving the Lord empowers us to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. You ought not think that the Lord just want us to be a bunch of preachers, deacons, choir members, and ushers. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Let God use you every area of your life. If the Lord has called you to be a police officer, be a saved police officer. If God has put on your heart to be a lawyer, then be a saved lawyer. If the Lord has put on your heart to be a camera technician, then be a saved camera technician. God wants to use you. He's already been mighty good. But let me tell you, he's really been investing in us. He's brought us through dangers, seen and unseen, so he can use our testimony in the service of the Lord. I gotta close here now. I don't know about you, but I made up my mind to serve the Lord. Anybody here gotta made up mind to serve the Lord? It's obvious to me that one of these days, I don't know when, but one of these days, I won't be able to do what I do now. It's obvious to me. Birthdays have a way of stealing some of the range of your voice. Birthdays have a way of making details a little fuzzy in your mind. It seems to me that up this road of time, my service may change, but as long as I got breath in my body, I want to tell somebody, yeah, I want to tell anybody, yeah, about somebody who can change anybody, yeah, his name is Jesus. I don't know how long I'll be able to holler as strong as I holler today, but I remember my daddy whispered the name of Jesus on his sick man. Oh, I've tried him too long. Can't nobody make me doubt the reality of serving a true and living God. Oh, hear the word of the Lord. God has already been so good that you ought to serve him until you die. But if what he's done is not enough, then open the book and read the promises of my God. He promised, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. He promised, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He promised, fret not yourself because of evildoers. They're soon, 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 soon cut down. Serve my Jesus. Serve my Lord. Serve my Jesus. Serve my Lord. He will take care. Take care. Take care of his own. Anybody here ever tried my Lord and found out it's true that serving the Lord sure enough will pay off after a while? Can I find a witness? I just need a few and I'll be out of here. Anybody tried him and found out he may not come when you want him, but if you hold on just a little while longer, if you hold on just a few more rising and setting of the yonder sun, he will come. I said he will come. Would you help me? Just tell your neighbor, neighbor, he will come. He will come. He will come. God will come. God will come. God will come. He will come. I said he will come at the right time, in the right way. Might not come on your timetable. He might be slow according to your timetable. That's just because you got the wrong timetable. He's coming at the right time. Not early, not late, right on time. And he's coming with the right stuff. You can trust that God has not brought you this far just to leave you. If he didn't care about you, he would have left you a long time ago. He has too much of him invested in you just to leave you now. You can trust him even when you don't understand him. There's a reality in serving a true and a living God. Don't fool yourself. You can sit up here and say you choose him, but if you don't serve him, your choice don't go deep enough. With the choice of God comes the service of God. You ought to ask yourself, do you have enough service to be found guilty of really choosing the Lord? You are what you do. You're not what you say. You can tell the tree by the fruit that it bears. And here's the marvelous news. No matter how jacked up you think your life is, no matter how messed up you think you are, no matter how far you are from where you ought to be, here's the beautiful news. The door is open. God loves you so much that no matter how messed up you are, you can come and get right today. Would you stand? The invitation is extended. If things are not well between God and yourself, today is a good day. This place is a good place. Come and say yes, Lord. God loves you. No matter what's going on.